We're going to have three mini talks now within the next hour or so. Brother Bob Gray is going to be up first, and the title of his remarks is Israel at 66. Israel at 66. Brother Bob.
Brother Jerry told me he'd be coming up, and I said, in about an hour. May I say this, it is a joy for Sister Rebecca and I to be with you all and to see you. And this is another blessing, and to have spoken with many of you. Sometimes we don't hear from brethren and we don't see them for many years, and this is one of those times of renewal for some of us. The class sends love. And also, I did speak with Brother Kenneth just before we were leaving at one point or another, and he asked to have greetings sent. Of course, he had his greetings read this morning from the email I received. May I also say that we are very thankful to have walked across the parking lot. I saw the store across the parking lot some time ago, but last year, Brother Mike and Sister Rochelle called it to our attention, and so this year we made it a point to go over there because it closes at 4 o'clock. Now, I don't want you sneaking over there during the talks, but you're probably going to miss it if you haven't been there. It's a Judaica store, and Rebecca and I talked with the owner briefly. I gave them a copy of the video, Israel Appointment with Destiny for the Jewish lady, and Israel Fulfilling Bible Prophecy for the Christian man who happens to own the store. And on top of that, we gave them a copy of this booklet, which you may or may not have seen, Will Israel Survive the End Times? Now, we know that they will, and they will be a blessing in the kingdom. We discussed some of that also when I was speaking with them. And I have six other copies, so if you have not seen this and you would like a copy, please, it's published by Oakland County. And I would recommend you take a look at it if you haven't seen it. On the back table, you'll also see a handout called If I Forget the O Jerusalem, if you would like a copy. They'll be there also. Or should I say they'll be there? One of the things I did today in reviewing things is to take a lot of the information that comes off the internet, in the last few days especially. So Israel at 66 is going to be a very special day. Now, a few days ago, Jason said he watched a YouTube clip, Jason? Yes, a YouTube clip, where he watched how on the Holocaust Memorial Day, right, the nation came to a dead stop. So if you have internet and you go in there and you type in Holocaust Memorial Day, Israel or something like that, what?
I'll just type in Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Holocaust Remembrance Day. Take a look at it if you have internet access and watch how these videos describe how the nation just comes to a stop. Okay. Why am I mentioning this? Because you were just listening to a music piece, which is their national anthem, Hatikva, which means hope. And it was actually written and sung many years before it was ever accepted as the official national anthem. But there is more to this, of course, and I must tell you that I'm sorry that all of us are not really having a discussion here before we board a plane to go to Israel this evening. Okay? It would be wonderful if we could all do, the whole group here, just get on the plane this evening and go to Israel and be there for the special 66th birthday. So let's go back and get a scriptural context. Amos 9, you're very familiar with, Amos 9, 14 and 15. I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine, and make gardens and eat their fruit, and sell it to the rest of Europe and so forth. I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land which I have given them, says Jehovah, your God. How many times is the word Jerusalem in the Holy Scriptures? 600. How many times is Israel referred to, or at least, referred to or mentioned literally in the Scriptures? According to one source, 3,000 times. Another question. What is a Zionist? From what I understand, a Zionist is someone who desires to see Israel rebuilt and come back to the land. You just heard the words of Jehovah saying what he's going to do. What does that make Jehovah? I think it makes Jehovah the number one Zionist. He wants Israel back in the land. Zionism is wanting to get back into the land and establish themselves there again. But you know, Israel is also the people of the land. It's the land, it's the people of the land, it's the state. It's also Israel throughout the world. Those people who may or may not even feel very closely tied right now, but who are yet being beckoned back to the land. And in this last century plus a few decades, in one respect, the 20th century, we can say, has been one of the most chaotic centuries in history. I think it's not over yet, and I don't think that the chaos is finished, and I don't think the trouble is finished. But I certainly believe that that has been one of the most chaotic in history. And I believe it is also called in the scriptures, once our Lord Jesus appeared, the day of God's wrath. And I would mark it from that time of his return. Yet, when the nations have been in conflict, many things positive were happening. For example, it is reported by many, including some documents that they have, that Israel was being promised something by none other than Napoleon, that he would go into the Middle East, that he would establish, if he could succeed getting through the Akko area, which is now near Haifa, which Haifa is now in that area. But he failed. The British managed to cut him off, and he couldn't carry out his plans. In fact, he escaped and got back to France just in time to save his hat, so to speak. And as a result, he did not proclaim a Jewish state in the Holy Land. He was only about 100 years or so too early. And when troubles came to the world, very often prosperity was the result for Israel, such as what happened with World War I. And with the horror of World War II, great pain, great trouble, nevertheless, they came through it with the blessing of having a state established and being allowed to be established. But I must say this, that we should remember, both the United Nations and the League of Nations put their blessing on the creation of a Jewish state. Sometimes we forget that the League of Nations actually provided a mandate for the British government to work in that direction. And there is no such mention of a group of Arabs who are calling themselves Palestinians. As you probably know, Palestinians were only the people who lived in that land, and they were Jews. Of course, 1878, the Gate of Hope. Now, why am I giving you this history? And what about now, the 66th birthday on Tuesday of the State of Israel? By our calendar, it's the 14th of May. But they don't follow our calendar. They follow the Hebrew calendar. And that's how close it is this year. Next Tuesday to the following week, when the 14th appears. There is a book called The Startup Nation. And in that book, there is a very good reference to Israel in an unusual way. How many of you have seen on your computer a sticker that says, Intel inside? Would you raise your hands if you remember seeing such a sticker? You know, quite a few, okay? From what has been written in some of this literature, it is really quite remarkable, but Israel's technology is so advanced that just about anything made in this world that's of any significant technical value has had their finger in the pie, either to create it, design it, or whatnot. One of the most recent things I heard about was a device that's going to enable somebody to see with a microchip in the back of their eye. A lot of other things, too. I won't go any further. So I'm thinking to myself, Israel inside. Now, Brother David referred to Tikkun Olam this morning, right? Tikkun Olam. You did, right? Or you did, just in our conversation?
Yesterday.
Oh, sorry. I'm predating what he's going to work on. That concept of healing the world or blessing the world. Give me another translation. Is that basically it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Repairing the world. What is restitution, brethren? And, you know, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time, Jesus said. Remember that? And that's the same context as restitution in chapter 3. Okay. What we want to do is to identify the fact that Israeli companies are thoroughly integrated into all kinds of activities. China, India, all of Latin America. What are they doing? They are working with these people. They are helping these people. But there's a return on this also. One of the government officials of Israel made a comment that one of the nicest presents Israel could have gotten from world economic providers was that Intel, that same company that I was referring to, has decided to expand their facilities in Kiryat, not Kiryat, memory. It's a thing of the past. Anyway, the point is they are going to put in $6 to $8 billion to tune up their facility. That's huge. $6 to $8 billion to just get things going a little bit better. But there are problems, and one of the problems is in the area of everybody who's a naysayer. And by that, right now, I mean there are people like Secretary of State Kerry, John Kerry, who has on one hand said, look at the terrible things that the people in Ukraine have tried to do to the Jews, having them register and list all their assets, and if they don't do it and pay a $25 fee, they're going to lose the right to be in this country. It's not even guaranteed that that was legitimate, but nevertheless, Kerry came out against such things. That was good. But then he came out and he mentioned, apparently with some intent, that if the Israelis do not go along with the peace plan, his peace plan, get together, give up stuff to the Arab community, they're going to become an apartheid nation. Now, that's a real slap. Because if you know what apartheid is, it has nothing to do with what's in Israel. And I have a handout. I may have some copies of it I can put on the table later. Of an African from South Africa who lived in the apartheid state. And there's no way that the Arab people have been treated the way the African was treated in South Africa. But then there's what is called BDS. B for boycott, D for divest, get rid of your assets that are tied into Israel, and sanctions, actually put pressure on Israel. In 1891, one of the first attempts to put pressure on Israel came in the form of a boycott. Through the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, they've been doing a variety of things of the same nature. And now they have this BDS going on, and there's continual harassment on the part of the world, the European Union, and Lady Ashton, who is apparently quite a proper lady. And Israel yet survives. Israel comes up out of this and benefits. You know the expression, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, it's also the father of producing so many amazing things. A cell phone. All the stuff in cell phones generated out of this need that they had to communicate. But there are problems there, too. For example, Israel wanted to build a jet fighter plane called the Lavi. The United States government said, no, why not? Why couldn't Israel be allowed to build their own fighter plane? Well, because the United States wants their businessmen to be able to sell it. And also there's a leverage factor here, because if you're buying parts from the United States to replace for those planes, and you go the wrong way, the United States can also say, now, don't you remember that to fly your planes, you need spare parts? You get them from us? Well, this is the kind of leverage that's been going on. And there are secondary and tertiary boycotts as well that have been going on through the years. One of the things that's happened in this concept of Israel Inside, which is, by the way, a video, which you can find if you just type in Israel Inside, the video or the movie, is that they feel that one of the reasons they've been able to do as well as they have is their education. So today, Israel's productive ability is the result of generations of methods of teaching. You know, if you watched a movie, for instance, like Yentl, and if you didn't, that's fine. It's not the greatest movie to watch, but nevertheless, it talks about an individual who faces another individual, and they debate. They debate the law. They debate all the history. What does that mean? Their intensity of education is so great that it's greatly productive. Brother Paul can tell you how much they have been focused on education. Brother Paul, yes? He nods yes, quietly. Okay. But now, as I told the people who own this store on the other side of the parking lot here, there are Christians like John Hagee, who gives millions of dollars to Israel, who believes that Israel is doing good now, and we should bless Israel so that they will bless us and bless the world, and God will bless us. But the fact is they have no further view in Israel's future, no further hope for Israel. We see Israel in the kingdom being part of a blessing group of individuals, the Blesser Nation, working with the ancient worthies. Here, they don't see that. In the kingdom, if they haven't turned around, before the kingdom, to bless, and during the time of trouble, bless themselves by believing in Christ, they're finished. I still would like to see Mr. Hagee admit to what he really believes about the future, and also the people who died in the Holocaust. What's going to happen to them? They never accepted Christ. So you have this tikkun olam, and they are doing good deeds, but they also feel the need to do more. Political climate. You know, the United States has a political climate that's pretty intense, but it's centered around what we call a two-party system. Once in a while, a third party comes in and kind of helps throw the election one way or the other. And years ago, there used to even be more. Like during the Civil War time, a fourth party even threw things further away out of place. What about now? Well, a system like ours is what Israel doesn't have. It has a parliament. Many small parties. You know how all of us in this room agree exactly about everything? Okay, so we're the Knesset, all right? And how are we going to act? What are we going to form? This party and that party and this party and that party. And as a result, coalition governments are necessary. And governments that might even be leaning toward doing something really focused and in harmony with where the scriptures are going, they always have to make a partnership with somebody who wants to hold them back. Okay, Brother Jerry is here after all. I'm sorry. I could tell you more, but obviously I can't. I think I mentioned about the apartheid, and I think one of the things we should know about that is that Israel has never done anything in that nature. They are constantly forced to make decisions. For example, one article today mentioned that the soldiers are not doing their work. They're doing the work of policemen, guarding the borders. Why are they guarding borders? Because from time to time, Palestinian Arabs like to put with a pregnant woman rushing into a hospital, a bomb. That's why you need a checkpoint. And other things like that have been going on. Even you know probably that people who have been helped and brought out of severe illnesses, when they go back to their home, they're almost an outcast. So how do they get out of this outcast situation? They pack up a bomb, they sneak into Israel and try to use it. And sometimes they succeed. Okay. About the Ukraine. There are Jewish people in Ukraine, and it's no question but that Ukraine has had some real difficulty, those worldly people in Ukraine, with being, how could I say, fair to the Jewish people. They tend to be anti-Semitic. And I'll add one more point. It is interesting that the whole issue of Islam in this world has been basically played down by a lot of people, including the government here. Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of England, came out on an issue of fighting Islam as an entity, as a violent entity, those who are radical Islamists especially. He says that they are a problem. The reality is that the whole system is a problem. The whole Islamic system is a problem for other people. Look at what they do to each other when Israel's not in the mix. They go after each other. Sadly enough, many people miss the point that the religion that they call Islam really is a culture that's been codified into a religion. Israel has to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. Israel right now shouldn't have to deal with people saying apartheid, shouldn't have to deal with the question of whether they exist. And by the way, for Israel to say, we want them to recognize us as a state, that's pathetic. It's a fact they are a state. Now, how are they going to recognize them? In what sense? Are they going to accept them as a partner in peace? Or are they going to accept them? Yeah, I recognize you. And then turn tail and cause more problems as they have in the past. Lord bless.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Israel at 66.